Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. Open our hearts and minds to your word, that we might meet the Lord Jesus, the living word, and equip us and strengthen us to live and work for your praise and glory. We ask in his name. Amen.
Amen. Georgina, can we just get on to the sermon slides?
Thanks. Well, good morning, everyone. Simon Viber is somewhere over the Atlantic as we speak, I'm sure, heading over to teach for a couple of weeks. And so we're continuing in our theme in Romans. And I just want you to think about that title for a minute, The Victorious Surrender. I hope by the end that such an absurd title might make some sense. The Victorious Surrender. We're in the middle of our study in Romans, and we're in this glorious chapter 8, which is so familiar to many of us. I'm sure we've memorized some, if not all, of those verses in one context or another. And Romans 8, Paul has been exploring these this dynamic that we face as Christians about a life lived or controlled by the Holy Spirit, or a life lived controlled by sin. And somehow we're caught up in this tension in our walk with Jesus once we put our faith in him. We know that we live in a sinful world. We often fall short of the glory of God and know what it is at some level to live a life controlled by sin. But Paul's saying there's also another work in us. The Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit is in us to equip us to live day by day a life controlled by the Spirit. And how do we then keep on going in that power and in that strength to make sure that as much as possible we are living by the power of the Holy Spirit? And Paul is really talking about God empowering us by the Holy Spirit in a very acute way, which is that the Spirit helps us to become like Jesus. That's God's will for every single person on this planet, that we become like his son Jesus more and more. That's the primary work of the Holy Spirit, to equip us to become like Jesus. God's will is for us to be like his son. It is to him and this process that we surrender. But this is a victorious surrender, because we are surrendering to the one who alone is victorious. If we're united to God by his Holy Spirit, if we're united to Christ by his Holy Spirit, then not only is his death ours, but his victory is ours. And that's what Paul wants us to grasp for our everyday living. This isn't out there theology, lofty theology. This is very practical, present tense reality that the Holy Spirit is equipping us and equipping us to live out and sing God's praise and live in his victory. So I'm going to try and unpack that a little bit today, this victorious surrender. How can that make any sense? Have you noticed Paul's questions in this passage? Please keep Romans 8 open. Look at what happens when we only look at the second half of these questions. There's about five in this passage. I'm only going to look at three, but you might want in your personal study time this week to look at the other questions. And I also have some small group questions at the back of church. If you'd like those exploring this passage, do take those with you if those are helpful. But look at verse 31, this first question. Let's just look at half of it. Who can be against us? Spiritual forces? Ostracization, living in an unbelieving, persecuting world. It's hard, isn't it, to live in a world that doesn't share God's values? Tiring, fatiguing, to keep on doing the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing and encouraging you to do the same. It's difficult. Who can be against us? It's fine, isn't it, as long as we don't kick up a fuss. The world celebrates tolerance, doesn't it not? It's fine, you do your thing, I'll tolerate that, but don't for a minute think you can bring and impose that upon me, no matter how true you think it might be. It's quite a tyrannical tolerance, is it not? As soon as we try and bring in the good news of Jesus to others, that's when people get upset, is it not? Surely it's easier, though, for us to just simply go with the flow, to compromise, live a quiet life, and just keep our faith to ourselves and maybe share it with those who might be a bit more open. Are we to be powerless against these things? Are these the things to which we must surrender? Look at question 2. Will God graciously give us all things? The whole verse says, doesn't it? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Let's just condense that to that second half. Can we really trust God to supply all of our needs? Surely it's easier, and aren't we more used to relying on our education? Right? We impress that at such a young age, don't we, with the stats. You know, you've got to do well in your stats. You're like 2 years old, but do well in your stats because the rest of your life depends on it. Because if you don't do well in your stats, you won't do well in your GCSEs. If you don't do well in your GCSEs, you won't do well in your A-levels. You won't go to the right college. You won't get the right job. And your whole life will just be a mess. What an immense pressure we live under. Where does your security actually lie? Does it lie in the things we have to do in life in order to survive? And our surface level prayers going as deep as maybe, Lord, please help me with this next promotion, or please help me with this exam that I might be able to live the life I've always wanted to live. We've become very autonomous, and our society celebrates this, does it not? It celebrates our self-dependence. It celebrates our own autonomy and man-made achievements. Those are good things, aren't they? I think that's one of the greatest challenges to us in the West. We've become very dependent on our own autonomy and the things we can do for ourselves. How then do we live a God-dependent life in this context? Are we powerless against these things? Will we surrender? Let's look at our last question in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Again, just take off the love of Christ part for the moment. Who shall separate us? Trials, periods of intense temptation, suffering, grief. All of these things can draw us away from a living and active faith, can't they? It's really interesting being a pastor. I noticed that suffering seems to do one of two things. It never leaves people neutral. It'll either drive people closer into the arms of God or further away. Are we going to let our trials and sufferings get the better of us to keep us feeling cut off from God? And they can be very real feelings, can't they, in our walk with God when we go through difficult times. It can feel like God is far away. Are we powerless against these things? Will we surrender? Kenneth Williams famously said in Carry On Cleo, infamy, infamy, they've all got it infamy. Let's be honest, our Christian walk can be like that, can't it? It can seem like a hard struggle. The spiritual walk is so difficult, it's so tiring to keep on persevering in Christ-likeness when everything against us conspires against us. But how are we then to overcome? How do we keep going? How do we keep maintaining a really quality relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, particularly in the hard times? Well, living a life controlled by the sinful nature will lead us to make two simple mistakes. One, we surrender to these hardships. We just give up, which is to be defeated. Or two, we try and conquer them in our own strength, which is to be delusional. That is the life controlled by the sinful nature. But the life controlled by the Holy Spirit looks radically different to these things. There's a bit of a vibration on the microphone. You might just bring it down a little bit, or should I turn this one off? See, the life controlled by the Holy Spirit looks radically different. We must learn the art of the victorious surrender, which I'm going to explain a little bit of now. See, we must learn to surrender everything. That means dying to ourselves
in order that we can create space in our lives for the Holy Spirit to come in. It's a lost discipline to us who've become so self-dependent, because our self-dependence clogs up every part of our life, that there's no room for God to come in and show us how powerful he is. And so the key is to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross, to put it in Jesus' language, to surrender everything to the Spirit of Jesus. You see, our trust of God correlates with our surrender to him. So actually, the hardest thing we face in the Christian walk is not necessarily temptation or suffering, as hard as they are, but to surrender fully to God. If God took away everything you had, would you still be confident of his love and provision? Psalm 44, as we heard read, said, didn't it, that for the sake of God, we are considered sheep ready to be slaughtered. Can we honestly, with integrity, say that I could give up everything, even my life, for God? But actually, surrendering, there's a deeper reason why we don't surrender, especially when we live in a culture that actually celebrates self-reliance. It's because surrendering opens us up to the possibility of change. And most of us resist change most of the time, if we're honest. See, transformation, true gospel transformation, only really occurs when we open up the depths of our being to God, to expose ourselves to God at the very depths of our being. Surrender and transformation are two sides of the same coin. You see, surrender means to acknowledge and to recognize the things that God hasn't made holy yet. Yet surrender we must, because transformation is what we long for, is it not? We long for it in our families, in our church. We long for transformation in our workplace, in our political landscape, in our ecology. Deep down, we seek and expect this transformation. We long for it, don't we? We yearn for this transformation, that someday God is going to come and put everything right. And we expect this transformation of our leaders all the time, yet we so rarely demand it of ourselves. And this is why politics will never save us, because it cannot change the human heart. The only message that can change the human heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why it's the only message of salvation. It's the only message that can transform the core of the human heart. To surrender is to allow the gospel to penetrate every aspect of our lives, for God to keep working his resurrection power in every aspect of our lives that we have not yet surrendered to him. Yes, we may have given our lives over to him, but is he truly, has the gospel penetrated every aspect of your life? No, it hasn't, because that's a lifelong process and it won't be complete until we reach glory. Therefore, what areas of your life do you need to open up to the gospel? And this is good news. You know, repentance is a fantastically positive word, because it opens us up to the possibility that God can transform our lives and move us into a new glory. Resurrection power is present tense as well as past tense. When was the last time you opened yourself up to God to allow his resurrection power by his Spirit in you to bring change in your life? It's a hard calling, isn't it? A tough calling, because it calls us to continually expose ourselves to God and allow his gospel to penetrate every aspect of our lives. But if we can surrender to this process, it's a victorious surrender, because in our surrender to God, his victory is made manifest. Consider Jesus' surrender. He was the only one who managed to fully surrender his life to God all the way through. That's why he could do what he could do. On the cross, he cries out. He can't even breathe properly on the cross. That's how helpless, how surrendered he is. On the cross there, he says his last words, "It's finished," and he gives up his spirit to God. And through this single act of obedience, this single act of obedient surrender, the greatest moment of victory comes in history. That Jesus is vindicated by God. He is brought back to life by resurrection power, by the same Spirit, by the way, that lives in us. And death is defeated forevermore, forevermore, for everyone. Does your life feel like you have that resurrection power in your life to overcome these things? See, when we follow Jesus' surrender, we surrender to Jesus, that same spirit that brought him back to life. It's the same spirit that lives in us, that God graciously gives us when we put our trust in Jesus. That's how come then we can say that we can follow the path of the victorious surrender. Because we're surrendering to the one who holds all victory. And this changes, this pathway changes everything. It changes the way we see the world. Can you imagine a life before microscopes? We had no idea that there was a whole other realm, a microscopic realm, that we just couldn't see with the naked eye. You see, once we've surrendered to God, like Jesus did, we pick up our cross and follow him. God gives us that gift of faith, and it's a gift. We can only receive it by grace. And it's like seeing the world through a microscope. All of a sudden, we see the whole world with different lenses, the lens of the gospel in our hearts. So we see the gospel in everything that we do, or potentially. So now we can invert those questions, can't we? Look at those questions again with the lenses of faith. If God is with us, who can be against us? Just think about that. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. God is with you and in you. Therefore, what can be against you? Yes, it's tough living in a secular world. But God's spirit defeats all of that. We can prevail because the great prevailer prevails in us. Just let that sink in. The Spirit of God is alive in you. The same Spirit that hovered over creation at the very beginning lives in you. It's mind-blowing. This should be blowing your minds. I hope it is. Never forget who you are, says Paul. Look at verse 16 of chapter 8 and verse 11. Wonderful verses. You are children of God. You've been adopted into God's family. There's no more condemnation. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? You are free. You have the Spirit of God living in you. And his resurrection power is present tense to help you overcome whatever situation you're facing in today. And it's not about us mustering up the strength to do that. It's all about surrender. It's about allowing God to work in your lives. So don't think for a minute this is about you overcoming these things. It's simply letting God take control and trusting him to do his marvelous resurrection work in your lives. All we do is to keep on trusting. Look at the second question. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God did everything to win you back, to rescue you from a situation that you couldn't be rescued from other than his mighty grace alone. If God is that generous, not sparing his own son, will he not provide for your every need? Which one of us has ever gone a day without a glass of water or food or shelter? Didn't Jesus say that you don't need to even ask for these things? Your heavenly Father already knows that you need them, and doesn't he graciously provide? What are we worried about? We don't have to worry. God is there with us all the time because his spirit is with us, and he already knows what we need. We can just let go of that stuff. Let's not get distracted by what we lack, but rather focus on what we do have, which is life in union with a generous God. And let's look at our third question through the lens of faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, doesn't he, verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." For those of us who have surrendered, we have the ultimate victory. Our eternal destiny is an eternal victory. We are eternally secure in the love of God.
And he will equip us to overcome every situation by his Spirit at work in us, to overcome. Nearly everything in this world will conspire against us to separate us from God. Hardship, evil power, society's values, and so on and so on. And of course, we can't explain suffering fully, but we can put it into context, into its time-bound context. See, our eternal victory means that suffering will have an end. And we can know that reality in part now and have that hope now. Weakness and suffering, hope and victory belong together because our wounds point to Jesus' wounds, which point to his resurrection, which point to our hope. That's how we treat suffering as Christians. God suffers with us so that we can enjoy his victory. So let me challenge you again as I come to a close. What areas of your life do you need to surrender to God? That can be scary in some ways, which is why knowing God's character, that he's our loving, generous Heavenly Father who loves to forgive, is so important. Knowing that we are his children, knowing that he loves to keep on giving beyond our wildest dreams, is so important. Can I encourage you to be brave enough to open your lives to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, I know I've got this aspect of my life that I'm worried about or that I'm dealing with or this situation that just seems overwhelming. Please, I give it over to you. Will you come by your Spirit and help me to overcome? Just let go and let God. We have hope because God reigns forever and we are in him and he is in us. His life is our life. He has a master plan and he has included us in it to the point that nothing can separate us from him. It's time then, isn't it, to live lives of victory, to be positive about what we believe in because of this wonderful victory that we have in Christ. It's time for victory. It's time to surrender. Amen. Just pray. Heavenly Father, that I ask that you come in power by your Holy Spirit. Help us to surrender to Jesus as he did to you, to give up everything, knowing that in you all things hold together and that you have good for us in store for those who love you. Lord, whatever strongholds seem to be getting on top of us, whatever our situation, no matter how overwhelmed we feel, I pray even now you would bring your resurrection hope and power into those situations, that we would be more than conquerors because Jesus is more than conquered and he lives in us. And Father, if there's anyone here today who feels like giving up, who's tired and fatigued and worn out, I pray that you would fill them right now with your Holy Spirit to encourage them and strengthen them, that they would never, ever, ever give up, knowing that you are with them in every situation. Help us, Lord, to do what we cannot do for ourselves, to become more like Christ, to live his victory day by day in the present tense with a future hope. Amen.